Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the What Next podcast. Thank you all for listening to our previous episodes, and I do hope that you enjoy this episode as well. Today, I have with me a friend and a lovely young woman called Adelani Oyinlola. Lani is the founder CEO of Easy Lancer, which is a digital marketing agency. And the reason I brought Lani in today is because we've had several questions from a number of you listeners in our social media DMs asking various questions around how to start your business, what the thought process you need to go through for you to know that you're ready to step out there from your current paid employments to actually owning your own business. And then we've also had another spectrum of individuals who are asking a lot of questions around, I already started my business, and whilst it's relatively doing well, I'm struggling a bit in terms of getting a lot of media activity and media buzz going on. I'm not getting the relevant followerships. So I thought it'll be great to bring someone in who has the experience in terms of, she's worked in corporate, she's had quite a lot of experience working for big organizations, and then one day she just woke up and decided, do you know what? I want to do my own thing. And she also has an experience in terms of how to build a clientele base. And then also, obviously, her space of expertise is digital marketing. So she, again, can give us quite a bit of insight into how to make that happen. So, Lani, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Hi, Josephine.
Hey. So, I mean, Lani, you heard some of the questions, right, that I've just thrown out there, what people are asking about. So in your case, as I mentioned, you worked in corporate for quite some time. You were in marketing, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about that. Did you enjoy it? And, you know, were you happy with that? And why did you decide to, you know, to stop?
I think I've always been in love with the arts. I've always been a creative at heart. Like, even though I actually studied computer science in university, but I've always been a creative. And so I think right from the jump, it's pretty much what I jumped into after university. So the first thing, I did my master's in marketing communications, right? So in Lagos Business School, the School of Communications.
Okay.
Because I already just knew, you know, what I wanted to do. My father is a journalist. My mom is a journalist. So
okay.
It's kind of been that. And so then I worked at MTN in the marketing department as well, which made me fall in love with marketing.
Right.
And then Ericsson, you know, same thing, marketing. I'd always done marketing, right? But I always wanted to learn because, for the longest time in the beginning, my mind, I had the growth mindset, the learning mindset. I wasn't, you know, out to see how I could rise or how I could get ahead of myself or how I could make a lot of money. I think I wanted to initially just kind of do the groundwork in learning and just understanding my field. And so what I would typically do was, I was in marketing, but I made sure I branched out in a different aspect of marketing communications generally. And so I've worked in the PR space. I've worked in the advertising space. I've worked in the digital marketing space, which was the last thing I did in paid employment before I then moved into starting my own business and digital marketing.
Because obviously when you first started your career, digital marketing would not have been as big a thing as it was towards the end.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love the fact that you're quite rounded. You've done advertising, you've done PR, you know, you've done content. So, you know, you're quite rounded in that space. And another thing I like that you said is when you started, it wasn't about career growth in terms of climbing up the career ladder.
Uh-huh.
It was more about owning your craft, getting to be an expert in your field and understanding what parts of marketing you were most passionate about. Because you need to touch on each area before you really know that, okay, so this is where I'm comfortable. I have a good rounded understanding of everything, but this is where I landed. And you landed on digital marketing.
Exactly.
Tell me why.
I think I landed on digital marketing because obviously we're in a digital age.
Yeah.
And I think also I realized that everything I did at the end of the experiences I had still could be put into digital marketing. It helped me be a better professional, helped me understand my craft better. Because at the end of the day, everything we do in digital marketing isn't new. Mm. It's all marketing. It's all communications that have always existed,
right,
but now in a digitized form. So that understanding, that background knowledge has helped me, you know, own the craft in a different way,
right,
than even somebody who just immediately jumped into digital marketing.
So your advice, if you were to advise someone today who was looking to get into digital marketing, would you advise them to still, you know, go a bit back and learn about the other areas of marketing? Or would you say it's okay to just, you know, jump into understanding content digital today? Because it sounds like you feel you have a bit of an edge because you understand core marketing.
Yes, I think so. I think that's what a lot of people that I see and that I employ are missing, in terms that there's not that background knowledge in marketing. And so a lot of times what you see that they're doing is surface, you know, on the surface. They're doing a lot of tactical stuff, but not necessarily strategy. Mm. To be able to do digital strategy, you have to understand marketing.
Right.
To be honest, you have to. There are certain questions and certain things that you need to ask, you know, and if you don't understand marketing or some aspects of marketing, then you may not be properly set to ask those questions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So when you decided you wanted to leave paid employment, walk me through, you know, what your thought process was and why you felt you were ready at that time. Because again, you and I, we've had some of these discussions. And I think, guys, the thing that surprised me the most when Lonnie and I had a discussion around her career and what she was doing was, you know, Lonnie told me she had imposter syndrome at some point, or at least was nervous and wasn't, you know, very confident about, you know, whether or not she was good enough. And that surprised me because I see you as an extremely confident person. You're so good at your craft. But I guess we all have our silent struggles and, you know, our silent insecurities. So how did you overcome that? And what was your thought process?
I think it's been a journey.
Yeah.
One which I'm still taking, to be honest. I'm not perfect. But like I told you earlier in our, you know, discussion, I did not necessarily set out to get there.
Yeah.
You know, it happened to me. Like, I had to go through that process of growth based on the decisions I made. And it was the decisions to start a business. And in the COVID era, how did I decide, you know what, this is the time, the worst time possible to start a business?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? What made me decide that? I'd thinking on it, you know, maybe like a year before, maybe 2019, you know, I was just thinking in my head. I was like, at that point, I was handling about 5 departments in my on my job, and you know, I was pretty well rounded in everything, doing everything, but it got to the point where I felt like I was stagnant, right?
Right.
And so for me, I'd always had the growth mentality. How do I learn? Where do I learn? Where can I do this? You know, I always want to be like at the back, you know, let someone else be in front. Let me be just be doing the work because I want to do good stuff. But then, I started then thinking about somehow, I think I feel like I just got to the point where I was moving to a different stage in my life where it wasn't anymore about learning, but actually then impacting,
right?
Just making that impact, that direct impact. And so the question was, where do I go from here? Because clearly I'd outgrown the space that I was in.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to ask myself certain questions. What do I actually want to do? Because I want to make an impact, but doesn't necessarily have to be in digital marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but do I really want to leave marketing? Because, I mean, I eat, breathe marketing. You know, or do I want to do something else? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I actually tried to do something else. Before we go to where I am today, I tried to run, I tried to do something else, a business that was just retail.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I gravitated back to marketing. So I gravitated back to marketing based on the fact that I'd left where I was in trying to start a business. I was, you know what? I think that I will continue to think about this until I actually push myself and just do something.
Right.
And just do something. And the thing I did was to leave where I was. Because the thing is, when you're in paid employment, sometimes you get really comfortable with doing things in a certain way, because obviously then there are processes in place
yeah.
where you have to do, and it's easier to work with processes because everything is set. You don't need to go out of your comfort zone, so to say. And so when it's difficult to move from that shift to actually then going into the wild, because entrepreneurship is the wild, right? So going into the wild where like you have to create the processes, you have to do everything. And so if care is not taken, you will stay there and not want to necessarily move out of your comfort zone. So I decided to do something drastic, which was run out of my comfort zone.
Mm.
You know, even though, yes, I had a plan. And the plan was, you know what, just start something in retail, right? And so I just did it. I did it afraid. I was scared. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you are literally in your 30s and this is what you want to do right now. But first thing I would say is one of the things that helped me was I decided to just do it, whether I was scared, whether I just decided to do it because I feel
but
like...
But there must have been something that made you feel like, I can't continue right now the way as I'm going. In as much as you said it was your comfort zone, were you feeling you were fulfilled with what you were doing? You said you wanted to create impact.
Mm.
So obviously you didn't feel you could do that in the paid employment you were under at the time.
Yeah.
And so whilst it was comfortable because you were getting a regular income mm-hmm. and there was the fear factor of if I step out now, that paycheck monthly guaranteed goes away. But something was stronger that was pushing you beyond the fear of losing that check. Something was more important to you that pushed you to say, it's now, I gotta go now. And what do you think that was for you?
I feel like there was more than one thing, but one thing which I'd mentioned earlier was the desire to want to suddenly, to want to make impact, right? I'd moved from the phase of wanting to learn to wanting to actually make impact and give back.
Yeah.
Right. So I had a strong desire to want to make impact. I didn't necessarily feel like where I was, I could do that from where I was. You know, I was at the time based on, you know, what I was doing. But I felt like there could be more that I could be doing, right? Which is why, one of the reasons why, even now that I run a digital marketing agency, we offer training free.
Uh-huh.
Every year, we have a quota of people that we offer free trainings to, which was part of like my thinking then.
Yeah.
You know, that was strong for me. And then just that desire to have, to be able to command my own time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was also really strong, okay. Right? To be able to command my time. I mean, like I said, entrepreneurship is like the wild, but however chaotic it is, you find that you're still able to decide when you want to take a back seat, decide when you want to unplug and plug back in,
yeah.
Right?
And it was so the right time for you in terms of your personal life. You know, you're a mom.
Exactly.
You've got two lovely kids.
Exactly.
And also how you balanced that with what you were doing. And the reason I ask is, again, it's important reading some of the questions I've had. A lot of them are around, how do I know this is the right time? And whilst for every individual, it's going to be different mm-hmm. because, you know, the stage you're at in your career, what can your personal life accommodate this change are things that I would say you need to consider as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter how unhappy you feel you are or how unfulfilled in your current employment, you still need to take into consideration the fact that you must live, right?
Mm-hmm.
You must be able to survive whilst you're starting your current business, right?
Exactly.
So there's that. But for some of the people, I think reading, some of them are not happy with the culture of the organization they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a good reason to go into entrepreneurship? Because you feel you have an idea in your mind as to how an organization should be run. For others, it's simply similar to what you've said. I'm not growing and I need something more. Mm-hmm. I know I've maxed out where I am. I've learned everything I can. And I need to know that I'm still growing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, in order for you to stay relevant in whatever field you're in, you must consistently continue to grow and evolve. And if you feel the environment you're in, you're no longer doing that, then definitely it's a good indicator that it's time to step out, whether it's into paid employment, another organization, or if it's into entrepreneurship. But something else that you mentioned that I also want us to focus a bit on is that as you decided to move into your new business, it was also important for you that you start to develop processes as well.
Mm-hmm.
My view, and I've said this to quite a number of my mentees who have left university and want to start their own business, whilst it's fantastic and I think it's good to go ahead and follow your passion, I'm of the opinion, and I've worked with quite a number of successful entrepreneurs who have built a startup into, you know, a huge corporate entity, is that one of the things that has always been an advantage for such individuals is that they started working for someone else. They've worked in a structured environment.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when I look at entrepreneurs who've had to do multiple businesses before they finally found success, and I listen to why it didn't work the first couple of, there are loads of factors, but I always feel that one of the biggest factor and something that's recurrent when I listen to people is they just didn't have the structures in place, right? And they fall flat. But you came from having experienced structure, not just from one organization. You've seen what it's like to put processes in place and how processes can protect you, but also hinder progress, for sure, because some organizations, you can't innovate.
So much red tape.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't innovate because there's a lot of red tape. But somehow you were able to develop those processes in your organization.
Uh-huh.
So to tell us a bit about that.
I feel like it's like having an organization with no processes is like wearing clothes with no underwear.
Yeah.
You're like flying. So because at the end of the day, a lot of the things that you do when running an organization is operational.
Yeah.
In the sense that, yes, you're passionate about something, but you have to put on the operational shoes because you run the organization. And at some point, you're going to have to relinquish that title of, okay, I'm the person who knows how to do
every
the job best, right? You're going to have to, at some point, wear the boots of who's the operations manager, who's making things run. And if you don't have or if you don't build processes, then it will be so difficult and it will be chaotic.
Absolutely.
Right. And so I think, like you had said earlier, working in structured organizations kind of helped me see what is missing.
Right.
I mean, I don't have everything in place now, but at least I know what I should have in place.
Absolutely.
And there's a timeline for, okay, this is where we want to be in year five.
Mm-hmm.
We're okay where we are in year two.
Yeah.
We're fine if we don't have this in place now. You know, so for example, I don't have an accountant. I don't have a seat in accountant. But I understand that accounting is also very vital. So I have a consultant who I don't actually have to pay on a monthly basis, right? Or like if I were to go on the Excel sheet and try to do that myself.
Yourself, absolutely.
Right? Same thing with HR. I understand the relevance of HR. I understand the irrelevance of legal, right? But I cannot afford them, but I found a way out. Because I understand that those things are essential to have. So if you don't have those processes, then you are going to fall flat in many ways and in other ways that are not even, that have nothing to do with your business. You might be very good at the job, but you might have poor customer service, for example.
Absolutely.
You might be very good at the job, but you may not have the right processes to make you deliver your work in good time.
Mm.
And so if you can't deliver, but you deliver fantastically, It really then is kind of counterproductive, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that is how, those are the things that processes help you with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think what I love about what you said is, so you're an expert in your area.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing you also understand in running a business, it's not just about having the expertise in the field that you're playing in, but there are other functions that must support that. And so when you start as an entrepreneur, you don't have to start having it all. You shouldn't, you know, jump to the deep end and start by hiring an accountant, hiring an in-house lawyer. You can start by just having consultants that are experts in those areas as well,
mm-hmm.
and that you're paying for their hours. So you're not paying full time.
Mm-hmm.
As of when you need those services, you'll reach out and, you know, and for some of you who might have friends who are accountants or lawyers or whatever, it's a good time when you're starting a business to reach out to these people and get their views as well with regards to, okay, for the field I'm going into, what are the regulatory requirements? Because some people will start a business not even realizing that the area they're going into is highly regulated,
yeah.
and they will need to have some sort of documentations or licenses in order to even be able to operate in those areas. And they're governed by certain rules and regulations. So for sure, when you start out a business, you might not be an expert in every area, but please get some expert advice, especially around legal, around accounting. Finance is a big part. And that's an area where a lot of entrepreneurs seem to fail in. They understand how to bring in the money. They don't know how to manage cash flow and so on and so forth. So yes, I think that you're spot on.
Another thing that could help with you trying to develop a process is have an advisory board. Right. And advisory board is not as serious as you think, but a bunch of mentors who are willing to help you.
Wisdom.
Come on board and just say, you know what, Lani, okay, I can give you 1 hour in a month.
Yeah.
To just come and have a Zoom call with a group of other mentors who can give you 1 hour in a month. And you just open up your books to them, show them where you are, show them your progress. And you will be shocked at how much knowledge you get from there. Yeah. But you just make sure that you make sure that you find you pick those people strategically. You say, okay, who's this my lawyer mentor? Who's this my accountant mentor? Who's this my business owner mentor?
Yeah.
Who's this my mentor who works in a certain organization, right?
Sure.
And so they can bring in their different perspectives.
Absolutely.
And offer you that advice. So that's what I mean by the advisory board. You're not paying them.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So a lot of goodwill there. I completely agree with you. And in selecting the individuals, like you said, it has to be a strategic selection. I would even go as far as saying, look at someone who is where you want to be and see if you can get that person on board. And you'd be surprised because a lot of people will think, oh, they'll see me as competition. No, a lot of people want to pay back, right? So they're more than happy to come in and to also assist. And what you might find is that you start to have some level of business relationships with those individuals as well. A lot of big agencies will outsource some of their business to smaller agencies, right? So that could be something that you can also take advantage of in terms of selecting the right kind of people that you want on your advisory board.
Exactly.
It builds trust as well.
Exactly.
So for
it'll
sure.
It'll be difficult because they will hold you accountable.
Yes.
But that's exactly what you want because that's how you grow.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to those who already have started, those who are already running their own businesses and who now need support in terms of how do I go about starting my own digital market, my own sort of marketing strategy. I've got a business. I get walk-ins. I've done a lot of referrals from word of mouth and so on and so forth. I don't know. Should I have a website? I've got social media handles because everybody has to be present online, but I'm not getting the followership. I'm not even sure how frequently I should be posting. Could you just give some, you know, I know
tips.
People pay you for this, but I also know you run trainings, which before we finish the podcast, I'd like some information on that for some of our listeners who could benefit from it. But yeah, if you could just give us some tips, some hacks, what would you advise to a small business owner who is trying to do some level of marketing and they don't have a huge budget?
Yeah. Okay. Typically, what people try to do initially when they start a business and they're trying to be out there is try to do everything themselves. And it never really works out, especially if you're not social media savvy or you're not digital savvy. So what happens is that you start off and then maybe you fall off, right? And then you're not really making the impact that you should be making. I know that a lot of times it's not because they don't want to outsource, but it's just because of the lack of budget. But hey, that is why we have AI. AI is basically artificial intelligence. We're in the age of artificial intelligence now, where you have a lot of tools that help you cut your time of doing anything you want to do into maybe half or less. And you also have, and these AIs can make you sound like experts in any field, right? And so what I would say that you should first do as a business owner who's looking to first come market their products is first of all, have a digital presence in terms of make sure that you have, you basically ask yourself, where's my target audience? Where are they? What parts of the digital space are they, right? Are they people who basically interact on social media? Or are they people who don't go on social media, but they would rather just visit online news websites? Mm-hmm. Or maybe they like to see websites instead, people's mm-hmm. websites. You know, so you need to ask yourself, you need to first define your target audience, because that's the only way you can know who you are actually talking to or who you need to be talking to. So when you've defined your target audience, then you now start saying, okay, then you now start figuring it out, trying to understand your target audience to say, okay, if my target audience is people within the ages of 25 to 50, I would say that people within the ages of, say, people within the ages of 25 to 50 moms, for example, if that's my target audience, then I'll say that, okay, they actually can be found on social media, mm-hmm. right? But what social media channels can they be found? Then you begin to dig deeper. Maybe not Twitter, maybe Instagram, right? Fine. You find them on Instagram, for example. Maybe LinkedIn, maybe not. And so when you defined all of those things, right? And to define these things is not just by thinking about it off the top of your head. You have to do some desktop research, right? There are a lot of tools, again, that can help you define your target audience. If you put in, basically, all you need to do is impute certain parameters to say, you know what, this is what my brand is about. This is what I do. This is what I sell. And then you would be able to get a defined list of who your target audience should be and what and the things that they like.
Fine.
Right? And so once you've done all that definition and you've been able to figure out, you know what spaces they are on, then you need to make sure that you have a brand identity that is consistent.
Right.
And how do you develop your brand identity is by making sure that you have your logo, for example, which is the first thing, right? You have your logo because the logo is like a physical representation to say, this is me. Mm-hmm. This is, even if I'm not there, it can speak for me, right?
Fine.
And then you have your colors, you have your fonts, those visual elements that are consistent and will stay consistent across board.
Yeah.
That eventually brings that brand recognition that you're looking for.
Sure.
Right? They don't want to see purple on Instagram and blue on Facebook. If it's purple on Instagram, then it's purple on Facebook, then it's purple on your website. You know, so you build that, you begin to build that digital footprint.
Right.
Right? On those different spaces after you've had your brand identity set, right? When you've done your logos, your colors, your fonts, and all of those things that require you to be visually appealing or visually recognizable to your potential
audience
or your customer, right? And so now you then use those visual elements, you use the brand identity, you then infuse it with your digital presence or in whatever platform that you've decided that you're going to be in, and keep it consistent. Now, you build with those AIs. So, for example, you don't have the funds to hire a digital marketing person, but you know that you're not going to be consistent on Instagram. Something you can do is, please go on ChatGPT. Type in parameters of the kind of business that you do. For example, ChatGPT is not just about, okay, write an essay for me. You have to be very specific. Type in your target audience, all of the background work that you've done, your target audience, who they are, what they want to hear, what they want to see. And you say, you know what, ChatGPT, draw me up a list of topics that I can basically use as digital marketing content for the next 1 month.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm. You will find, ChatGPT will bring it out for you. I'm telling you.
Lania, you're not worried that
no.
AI is about to take over your industry and take your jobs?
We are eventually going to get there. And I think that what we then need to be thinking about is, how do we infuse AI into what we do?
Yeah,
right?
To make it richer future-proofing.
Exactly, because one thing I always like to do is, I mean, when there's something is going good. And I think that, okay, we've gotten to the point where we're comfortable. I like to disrupt the process. That's like,
makes
you know
sense.
What? I disrupt it.
Disrupt yourself before you're disrupted,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So
I like that.
Yeah. So the AI tool will help you. And once you've gotten the topics, there are AI tools that can actually do graphic design for you now.
Wow.
Yeah. So based on those topics, you filter what you feel is relevant to you, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And even to take it further, the AI can actually write content on those topics for you.
Right.
So your work is done. And then you get a scheduling platform that can schedule the content, and the content can go up even in your sleep.
This is a masterclass all in itself. You know, I may need to bring you back just so we can, you go to zoom into this particular topic on its own. Because I know some digital natives will be like, yeah, this makes sense. You go, Lani. And then there's some who are sitting there and saying, I've just become a lot more confused right now because where do I start from? But I think one of the things you said that for me is very critical is understand where your audience is. Yeah. And you don't have to be on every single social media platform. Because, you know, I think sometimes people just feel I need to be everywhere. And that in itself can be overwhelming, because then how much time do you have if you don't have a team working on your marketing strategy for you? How much time do you really have to update LinkedIn, update Instagram? Although I'm also told that there's some tools that once you key into an area, it can then upload onto all your handles.
Yes. Yeah.
Simultaneously, right? So, I mean, those options do exist, but really, you do want to find where your audience are and you want to be very, very specific and focused and targeted. So I think that's, and also making sure that your brand identity, there's a continuity, a similarity,
consistency
across board, and it doesn't look, the look and feel doesn't look different everywhere.
And your messaging, your brand messaging that is central to who you are as a brand is very key, that it's consistent, because that will feed, that will basically be what feeds your strategy in the first place. And then the strategy will feed the content that you put out there. So at the end of the day, no matter what they see, if they think about it long enough, they must go back to the main message.
Right? Okay. And the thought process around that main message has to be tied into, obviously, the purpose behind your brand.
The purpose behind your brand. What are you about? So are you helping people eat healthy? You know, things like that. So, and that is why in marketing we want to come up with slogans, right? Because slogans stick better. So say, for example, I'm trying to think of a slogan that has never left my head now. Okay. So, for example, Dunlop Elite. You know the I don't know what Dunlop Elite, the tires, the tubeless.
Yeah.
You know that there's an advert that said Dunlop Elite tubeless na baba, and they used it for so long, and I can never forget it, and it's been decades, right? And so when you think about it, Dunlop Elite tubeless na baba, what happened? It made people want to actually buy tubeless tires,
right?
Because then there was that notion that tubeless tires were better, and
absolutely,
not just any tubeless tire. If you're not using Dunlop, because Dunlop is, do you understand?
Yes.
So that is kind of messaging that you want to also that's kind of feeling that you want your audience to get, but you have to be consistent to be able to get that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a telco, saying that everywhere you go.
Exactly.
And that sticks.
Exactly.
And so, you know, no matter where I am, village, town, wherever, everywhere you go.
You know, it's so ingrained in our heads such that if you just put a yellow sheet and you put everywhere you go in black, we already know what that's about.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
So consistency, brand consistency, your message has to align with it.
Uh-huh.
So for those of you that have just gone and, you know, just drew up a logo because it looks pretty to you and you've just put a message because it sounds funky, but there is no real purpose behind the message. You haven't tied it to the purpose of your business. This is a good time to go back and review that. You can always do a brand refresh and you can just, you know, do a complete revamp. This is a good time to think about it. What is your brand messaging saying to your audience? Is it punchy enough? Does it stick? Does it have stickiness? And these may be some of the reasons why people come to your websites or come on your Instagram handles, but then they move on and they forget about it the next time they're looking for that particular product. So thank you so much, Lani, for this. Like I said, there are so many different areas we could go through in terms of digital marketing. And I'm definitely going to invite you back so that we can discuss some other layers of this, because there's so many layers to unpack. But before we go, could you give us some information about your free training?
Okay, yes. Okay, so I'll give you a little bit of back history on how we got there. So initially, before we went full-fledged agency, we started off as building a platform. So a freelance platform, which is where the name Easy Lancer came from. It was a freelance platform for creatives to collaborate, and organizations can find them on those platforms. It's like it was like we were building the Fiverr for Africa. We're still building it, but then it's more like a long-term thing now. It's right. Where we want to be. But first, we're, you know, a full-fledged agency. So we had started that. And so one of the things we wanted to do was then offer training to people, to these creatives that we would then encourage to join our platform, right? So because like you had said, there are a lot of people who they want to be digital marketers. They don't know where to start from. They would like to be on a platform such as that, but they don't have the skills.
Right.
And sometimes, a lot of times, they don't even know where to go to find the skills. And when they do, you know, it's expensive and they can't afford it. And so every year, what we've done and what we still do is we have a quota of free trainings that we do. Even though, yes, we have paid trainings, our trainings are paid, but we have a quota of free trainings for 50 people
right.
every year. So we do it in the beginning of the year before, you know, so it's usually between February and June. So between February and June, we have free trainings and we try to do a number of 50 people in total for free. Maybe at different times, what usually happens is, you know, we have 10 at this time, another 10,
right.
maybe 20, you know, depending
on. So it's staggered.
Yeah, so it's staggered and it's not overwhelming. So that's simply what we do. But I mean, our paid trainings are all year round.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do people get more information about your organization in order for them to apply for whether it's a paid training or the free training? How do we get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with us on our social media web, our social media pages. It is Easy Lancer, just Easy Lancer. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on LinkedIn. And you can find us on Threads. Have you heard about Threads?
I have, funny enough.
Yeah, so you can find us on pretty much any of the social media pages that you maybe are versatile with, if you prefer anyone. All you need to do is just send us an email, send us a message there. You can also send us an email to easylancer@gmail.com. Simple, easylancer@gmail.com, or you can send a message to me directly at adelani@easylancer.com as well. I think if you just state your interest in the training, what we'll just typically do is put you down in our database for training, and then when the time comes, send you all the information that you need
okay.
for the training. Yes. So I think that's it. That's pretty much it.
Great stuff. So, and you being a digital marketer, obviously you have to be on most of the social media platforms, hence the reason you're on almost
everything.
But I hear Twitter, Threads people are saying Twitter people should please stay off. They don't want the same behavior on it.
No, but Twitter is a wild place, honestly. Threads is like, I think the reason why lots of people jumped on Threads is because people needed a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
So in the sense that Threads right now is posing to be that middle ground between Twitter and Instagram. Instagram is like, I must post a picture. The picture has to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, Twitter is like such a wild place.
And I can go and say anything I want to. No filter, nothing.
Nothing. Mm. And then you have to be careful because just like there's no filter for you, there's no filter for anyone who's coming for you as well.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a wild place. And so people are just like, they try to thread carefully.
I like that.
On Twitter. And so Instagram is like, and then Threads is like, oh yeah, so, I mean, we get Twitter benefits, but we're not on Twitter. So it's like,
yeah. And we're threading carefully from the Twitter madness. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Lani. Thank you for joining me today.
It was absolutely my pleasure. I'd love to come back and do maybe a deep dive into digital marketing.
Yes,
it would
absolutely be
my absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Please don't just take all this knowledge for yourself. Share, like, pass it on to your friends who might benefit from it. Anyone who's an entrepreneur looking to build their digital marketing footprint. So please go ahead and share today's episode with your friends and your loved ones. Thank you for listening to today's episode of What Next Podcast, and I look forward to bringing you the next episode soon. Take care, everyone. Have a good one. Bye-bye.